Boom! What's up, Familia? Dayspring here with a non-spoiler first impression of X-Men 97. We are not discussing spoilers, Familia. So many people are DMing me, asking me for spoilers, and, you know, I'm happy to give more context on things, but this is a show you really want to go into surprise because there's so many character beats and moments. And I was on the plane back from LA because we went to the X-Men 97 premiere. In case you don't engage with us on Instagram or you have our stories muted, because I post a lot of stories, but our BFF Super X Luigi invited us out to go to the premiere. Special shout out to Luigi. I have been following Super X Luigi since probably Instagram began, something like that, back when Tumblr used to be a thing, and I would see photos of him and I'm like, oh, who is this amazing looking cosplayer? And I cannot believe he is my hair twin, that we have a very close friendship. He is so wonderful. Familia, you know what, just even pause this episode and go hit him up on Instagram because he's such a wonderful human being. But we are going to have Luigi on the podcast to discuss the premiere and do a little bit more of a thorough breakdown on what we saw. So this episode is just going to be, again, just the first impressions, no spoilers at all. But I really wanted to sit down as a Familia and talk about X-Men 97. And I'm going to give my first impressions here. And again, non-spoiler, I just want to continue saying that over and over again. This is going to be non-spoiler. However, we do have to sort of talk about the characters, where they're being positioned, what I think has been done really well, what I think, I hope, will be happening. So if you want to go in without any context for X-Men 97, if you're one of those people who's been avoiding any images that are out there, not looking at any of the clips, then I will tell you, peace out from this episode. We won't take it personally. Come back once you've seen the first two episodes, of which are premiering this Wednesday. But I wanted to just do a non-spoiler first impression episode. So you've been warned. We are going to be talking about the show in a little bit more detail than has been released out there. How about that? But we're not going to give any spoilers. All right. So the question I've been getting over and over again is, is it good? And yes, X-Men 97 is good. And thank White Phoenix it's good, because Disney Plus cannot take another flop. Now, when I was watching it and sort of when we were discussing it afterwards at the after parties, I really thought, what is there that people can latch onto and dislike about this? And I will tell you, I don't think there's anything that people can latch on and dislike in a very bigger way, right? Because with X-Men 97, there has been a plethora of reactions, right? Anywhere from, is that Jean or Maddie, to why is Morph being non-binary, to a lot of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And again, for this episode, this is spoiler-free, but I also do not want to talk about any behind-the-scenes fan reactions. I don't want to talk about anything. I just want to talk about the series and my impressions of it, my first impressions of it. So my first impressions, it is good. It is a good, solid series. I think if people come at it objectively, they're going to give it a good review because it's not bad. However, is there something people can latch on to? I think there's one thing that people can latch on to if they want to, and I'm worried that they will latch on to that one thing, which is more nebulous, but they want to, they may want to find something, right? But I will say this, this feels like the X-Men of the comics, the 90s, 80s X-Men specifically, right? Pre-Onslaught. How about this? From Dark Phoenix all the way through Phalanx Covenant, this feels like the X-Men of the 80s and 90s. Now, I'm not saying that Dark Phoenix and the Phalanx Covenant are happening, okay? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying those are our two bookends for how this vibe feels for the X-Men. This feels like they are a group of outcasts who are superheroes, who are fighting for a world that fears and hates them. They are champions of humanity. they understand that they are trying to walk into the future together with humanity. My larger note, one thing that I thought was pretty hard to sort of get through was the pacing of the episodes we saw. Now, my counter argument to that is like, well, the original series had very quick pacing, right? This is very choppy. I wish there were more scenes we could have stayed in a little longer. That is not to say that there are not certain character beats where we stay in that scene, but a lot happens in these three episodes, right? Get ready, familia. You are getting your money's worth. These episodes feel long. And with that episode length, about 28 minutes. And when we were watching the first episode, I thought because it was a premiere that they weren't going to do opening and outros for every episode, that they'll just all stream it together. And so as we were very knee deep in episode one, I was like, man, this is a long episode. There's no way this is just one episode. They certainly must have switched over to episode two and they just omitted the opening and the outro. And nope. Sure enough, we got the end credits and I was like, oh, wow, that was just one episode. So expect to feel like these episodes are long. And so funny, we never really cared about episode length until WandaVision. And now it's all about episode length for us Marvel stans. But the episode lengths are felt long. You're going to enjoy it. I would not worry about not getting a bang for your buck per episode. This is very good. It's not 15 or 18 minutes, not even 20 or 22 minutes. We're talking at least 28 minutes. These episodes, you're going to look at your clock and be like, oh, is this episode about to end? Because it feels long. You know, so that's really good. The opening is great. It is a great opening. Now, it doesn't reinvent the wheel. The wheel isn't being reinvented. However, they took what was special of the original and enhanced it. And it's great. And there are lots of surprises within that. And you're going to enjoy it very much. The outros, I will say the same note on that. Think, how do you make what came before better? That is what they do. Now, the animation is really funny because a lot of people have been talking about the animation, and I find it curious that there's been some people have been like, oh, the animation looks really bad. I don't like the quality of animation. The comp that I would give for the animation is Invincible on Amazon. It feels very much what we have seen on Invincible. I think the animation is stellar. The character models are great. There is no notes I have on the animation. It's consistent. It's vibrant. It's fluid. There are a lot of action sequences out there. I will say you have seen but a sliver of what has been in these first three episodes. You've only seen a sliver because, familia, there is a lot. And those action sequences are next level. The characters are very expressive. The voice acting is very great. It's this perfect marriage of everything. Okay? So let's dive into these characters. Let's talk about my first impressions on their stories, okay? So we're going to kick it off with Magneto, and Magneto has a lot to say in these first three episodes. He definitely is given really wonderful lines. I know there's been some back and forth on the voice actor. Sort of we saw him at the end of the trailer, and we were like, huh, that voice kind of sounds weird. Telling you the voice lands really well. For these episodes, I saw Magneto. I don't want to like lead you down the wrong path and say expect Ian McKellen because he doesn't sound like Ian McKellen. However, the material would be written for an actor like Ian McKellen if this was on the big screen live action. So the dialogue is gorgeous. It is delivered beautifully. Magneto has a lot going on this season. There's talk at the start of episode one that two characters are having and sort of what is going on. And then Magneto comes in and it becomes apparent what's going on with Magneto. And not only is it apparent on the larger sense, but maybe there are some subplots with Magneto. It's interesting and it's juicy, and I cannot wait for us to be able to discuss it. But Magneto is definitely given a lot to do in these first three episodes. I would be very, very shocked if anyone was upset with Magneto. In a lot of ways, Magneto is delivering the relevance of the mutant metaphor in today's world, but also making it relevant for 97, if that makes sense. Okay. Beast is back. George Bruce does a wonderful job as Beast. He, like in the original series, is making lots of quotes. That's not anything new. Expect lots of quotes. A lot of fun new quotes. Well, there's one quote that he has that I was like, oh, that's one of my favorite books. And I love talking about this specific passage. And I've talked about this specific passage before. And I don't want to like give any spoilers, obviously, but Flink and I have ties to one quote. And I thought that was very lovely. But expect Beast to be the hashtag smart character. I was going to say air quotes, but I guess hashtag is more relevant. Hashtag smart character. This is a Beast we miss. And it's so refreshing. There is your headline, Familia. I love Beast in this series. This is a Beast I want. In fact, if you wanted to give me some webisodes, is that term even still used? Give me some webisodes on Hank McCoy, this form, I would be very happy. Beast is at his peak. So glad to have this version of Beast. He's not despicable. That's not to say that maybe we won't see an evolution for the character. I don't know. But from what I'm saying right now, based off of my impression of these first three episodes, we are getting peak Hank McCoy. So if you love 90s Beast, if you love the animated series Beast, you are not going to be disappointed. Bishop is there. And there's one thing about Bishop that I thought was very interesting. All right. For these first three episodes, Bishop doesn't really have a focal point. However, that's not to say that Bishop doesn't say or do anything. But by the end of episode three, I think his storyline will become more apparent. What I find very interesting is that in season one, when they did Days of Future Past, they adapted Days of Future Past and included Bishop. It's interesting that taking that idea of a X-Men story that didn't historically involve Bishop is something that they're once again doing. So there's a historical story out there in the X-Men canon that is being adapted with Bishop in it. How about that? Okay. And that story will become apparent to you by the end of episode three. And by the way, I cried. I cried as the story was being unfolded and adapted. I'm even crying now, think of it. I was on the plane ride coming back from LA, and it is a beautiful, beautiful ending. And I cannot wait to talk about it. I cannot wait. It fills me with so much joy that we will be able to talk about something like that. And I cannot wait to see how it unfolds for Bishop. But for the first three episodes, expect Bishop to be more of a supporting character. But by the end of these first three episodes, Bishop's journey is going to be a little bit more clear for the audience. Sunspot is fun. I am so happy to see Sunspot. Sunspot is fun. No, hey, listen, Familia, he is a point of view character in the way that Jubilee was a point of view character in the original series. So that creates for a very interesting dynamic for the two. And I think that this season, we are going to see Sunspot grow into himself. He feels very true to his comic book counterpart. Just think of him stepping into the X-Men and being like, what's going on here? And again, with Jubilee, it's fun to see that Jubilee is no longer the newest junior most member of the team. I believe at the end of season five, you know, we sort of saw her kind of coming into her own. It's going to be really interesting to see where they take Jubilee this season. Much like Bishop, I will say she feels very supporting to me in these first three episodes. However, she is present. She has things to do. Her new voice actress, Holly, we met her at the after party. Absolutely amazing. And in fact, Holly and Sunspot's voice actor, Guy, we were talking with them. They have such a wonderful energy together. It is such a delight to see them off screen and see their rapport. I think that's going to be evident in the series here. Jubilee, fun, fun, fun is all I can say. Wolverine is in the series. Wolverine has a few scenes, but I don't want to talk about them. Okay, so the thing is, we just Can't talk about Wolverine without talking about certain scenes. Right? Wolverine very much. I'll tell you what I find very interesting about Wolverine this time around. He very much feels like the heart of the X-Men. How about that? Wolverine fans, you are going to be happy. It is clear that Wolverine has a rapport, a special rapport with every member of the team, and we are shown how his relationships with other people are. He's very angry about something at the start of episode one. Again, I don't want to, we have to spoil it, in order to talk about it, and we're not going to do that. But he is very angry about something. It is part of the first three episodes. The thematically does get resolved by the end of episode three, but Wolverine is very angry about something from the start, and we will discuss that once the episode drops. But Wolverine, very much the heart of this team. I bet you didn't expect me to say that, but yes, he is the heart of this team. All right. Gosh. Cyclops. Can't talk about Cyclops without talking about the stories and the details. I said this on Instagram. I'll repeat it here. There's a lot of gray area with Cyclops. Get it? Gray area with Cyclops. He's very much a badass in this, and he is front and center. He is the leader of the X-Men. He is next level BDE all over. Like, you don't want to mess with Cyclops. He is tough. They did Cyclops right. They're showing Cyclops right. The character, of course, historically has never been without flaws. I will say that translates into this revival as well. There are certain things that we are going to be discussing as a community. However, I think the writing is very fair. And when things happen, you sort of understand Cyclops' point of view, but he is very much concerned with being the team leader. He's very much concerned making sure that they're superheroes and that the bad guys don't win. How about that? That's a very general statement to make about superheroes, but yes, Cyclops is very much the leader. He feels like a leader. And by the way, not only does he feel like the leader, but he feels like he's somewhere between Captain America and Iron Man. He's sassy. He has Iron Man sass, but he still has that Boy Scout vibe. Cyclops fans, this is our time to shine. You're gonna be very happy with Cyclops. Morph is fun. Morph is fun. And a lot of Easter eggs come through Morph. So you take that however you want to take. But you know what? I'm going to break the wall here about not talking about production and fan reactions because I do want to address Morph and everyone being up in arms about the character being non-binary. It is not an issue in the series. There's so much happening in the series that I bet had him being non-binary not been announced to the public via marketing copy, no one would have noticed. It is not a central point. Either way, whether you're pro or against it, you would not have noticed that the character is non-binary in those first three episodes. And also, there's so much going on. However, that being said, I think there's something people will latch on to, as I said earlier, and I think it will come through Morph, to be honest with you. I definitely think it will come through Morph. But it's just one little thing, and I'm just like, oh, that is the thing someone's gonna harp on and make a video about. So I would be prepared for that. The battle with Morph is not over yet. Anyways, okay. Next is Rogue, and Lenore Zan does not miss a beat. She is, in so many ways, the flagship of this franchise, this X-Men animated franchise. She sounds great. She looks great. She kicks a lot of butt. She has a lot of heart. She does have a subplot. She does have a subplot that's very true to the comics. How about that? Very true to the comics. You're going to be very interested in what's going on with Rogue. And there's this one moment in particular, you're going to see something, you'll be like, oh, that makes sense. And not only does it make sense, that it's also true to the source material. Next up, we have Gambit. And, Rogue and Gambit go together. So I would expect a lot of what's going on with Rogue to impact Gambit. Gambit looks great. They definitely lean into Gambit being a very attractive mutant. You will be happy with Gambit's costumes, outfits in this series. He looks really, really great. I'm curious to see where they're going with Gambit. They planted seeds. There are seeds planted for Gambit that did not play out fully in those first three episodes. So let's see where we go with Gambit. But if you are a Gambit fan, if you love this character, you're going to be very happy with his renderings in the first three episodes. So that leaves two characters here, and I purposely left them last, which is Storm and Jean. And because we are crazy Jean Grey fans and we got a lot of questions about Jean, I'm going to save her for last, but I'm going to talk about Storm, and I'm going to say Storm is the MVP. We had the Lee Waltz here a couple years ago on the podcast, and they said one of their biggest regrets was that they didn't give Storm a lot to do. And let's just say Storm does have a lot to do. And not only does she have a lot to do, but Allison Seeley-Smith nails it. Oh my gosh. There's no one out there who could, much like Lenore Zanna's Rogue, no one but Allison Seeley-Smith can do Storm. And let me tell you, she is given a lot of emotion. A lot of people are like angry about the Mohawk. I will say, let the story play out. Let the story play out. And you will see it. The Mohawk to me, for the purposes of 97, look great. I have no qualms with it. Storm is a character who always changes her looks. She got this Mohawk in the 80s. I would think about the context of her life in the 80s in terms of character. I was very shocked with where they took her story. It makes sense. A lot of it is not new. This is being adapted from the source material, but this was a very powerful story for Storm. Storm is easily the MVP. I am very excited for Storm. And I think if you look at the episode titles, by the way, so I'm not even going to spoil something. I'm going to tell you there's marketing copy out there that has revealed the name of all the episodes. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's clearly taken from the comics. His title's literally taken from the comics. And you will understand where they're going with Storm's story. So she's got a lot to do. How about that? And has a lot of emotional beats. How about one thing? Because we're going to transition to Jean. Well, I'm going to give a little morsel of a spoiler. And this is not anything new. But I love that in the comic books, Storm and Jean have this sisterly relationship. And I know Storm had mentioned during the Dark Phoenix saga in the animated series, she was like, she is someone that I love like a sister. However, I was like, well, but they never really leaned into the sisterly aspect that Jean and Storm has, right? They say it, they don't show it. I will say Storm and Jean, their sisterly bond is very evident. And it is my favorite part of these first three episodes. And there is a line that is so heartbreaking, and it showcases their sisterly bond. How about that? Okay. That is the only morsel of a spoiler I'm going to give for this episode. The long established in the comic books, Storm and Jean's sisterly bond is properly rendered here in X-Men 97. It is awesome. And of course, that is just a morsel of what's going on with Storm. That is but a morsel that's going on with Jean. So there, it's just how these two characters interact. That's wonderful. Okay. God Queen. A lot happens with God Queen in these first three episodes. Your mouth will drop, Familia. In episode two, your mouth will drop. You're just going to be like, oh, gasp. I love my God Queen. I think Jennifer Hale does a fantastic job. And that's really hard because Catherine Disher made this role so unapologetically her own. But Jennifer Hale, home run. If you liked her in Wolverine and the X-Men, you're not going to be unhappy. If you played Marvel versus Capcom 3, where she returned as Jean, and I believe she did do the X-Men anime, you're going to be very happy. She has had experience voicing Jean, and I will say she is at the level of Marvel versus Capcom 3. I think of when you fight against Logan, Jean has a line, God, how I wish this wasn't you, Logan. That is the quality of Jean voice acting you're getting. It's a lot. And by the way, Catherine Disher, this is already publicly known, voices Val Cooper and absolutely is born to play Val Cooper. Catherine Disher is just so incredibly talented. So there is a lot to say on Jean. She is a priority for the production team. I think she has the most interesting story. I am a little biased, of course, but that's okay. We have our God Queen front and center. Very excited. I think if I was going to say anything, she feels more like her comic book counterpart, and does feel like there was a shift between the Jean we saw in the animated series and now. Now, that is not confirming or anything regarding Madeline Pryor, who we know is in the series. I'm just saying, in terms of how the character is written and feels, like she's not screaming and fainting. Well, is she not fainting? It is within a context that the character may or may not have a fainting spell, right? But it is not like she uses her power and she moans and faints. The character does feel like she went from, it feels like when she, it feels like when we were watching the original series that we had animated series Jean and comic book Jean. And I will tell you that now, again, absolved of, I'm not confirming anything with Madeline. I'm just saying that now this feels very much more like Jean of the comics in terms of how she is rendered and speaks. Now, there are a lot of callbacks. There's one callback with Jean that I like. Actually, one, two callbacks with Jean that I like very much. And we are going to have a lot of talk and speculation with Jean this season. There's going to be a lot of talk. I have a feeling that Jean fans are going to have a lot to say and a lot to speculate when it comes to our God Queen. And with that, Familia, I asked our folks on Instagram if there were any questions that they had, and I'm going to tackle some of those questions. Now, I haven't seen those questions, but I'm pulling them up right now. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say about the series is expect a lot of callbacks and Easter eggs. I'm glad these episodes are dropping weekly, because otherwise we would be literally slammed if we had to binge all of these. But weekly, we're going to have a lot of picking apart to do, because they're not only callbacks to the original series, but they're also comic book callbacks. So there's plenty of that there. And Jean has quite a few. All right, I'm going to try to get through as many of these questions as I can. Wow, I posted this 2 hours ago, and there's a lot of questions. We're not going to be able to get to all these questions, but I'm going to try to tackle as many as I can. You know, Familia, maybe if this is a part you really don't want any spoilers, maybe this is where you tap out, because I'm seeing some questions here and there's no real way to answer some of these unless being a little bit more pointed. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to say, well, yes, X, Y, and Z happens. I'm not going to do that. However, I am going to be a little bit more direct with this portion. So in the case that you don't want any form of spoilers, this is where you're going to tap out. But our first question comes in from Uncanny Toys, and he asks, and we're big fans of Uncanny Toys. We're doing a live taping of our podcast with him in about a week and a half. So excited. Okay. How big of a part is Cable in the new season? Well, I think Cable is certainly not going to be lacking something to do. How about that? And I think very respectful for Cable. And we talked about this in our Marvel Legends review of Madeline Pryor, right? They have not confirmed the sex of the baby. However, you look at that Marvel Legends baby, and it's so clearly not Rachel. And from the first beat of the first episode, I'm telling, like, the first minute, you will know the gender of the baby. How about that? Your excitement so far is already enough for me to be hype, says Traveling TS, which we love Traveling TS very much. Yes, it is a good series. There's going to be plenty of us. There's going to be plenty to dive into. And I really wish I hadn't seen the first three episodes under the guise of a premiere, because you're so excited. Shockingly, Luigi and I had drinks before, and we were just so excited when we got to the theater. And of course, it's like crazy. They're stepping repeats. The voice actors are there. We're grabbing the social media, and then you're sitting down and you're just like, and then the episode's playing. And I wish I could have sat down at home with some Pizza Hut pizza and watched the episodes calmly, so that way I can sort of metabolize it. But A lot happens in these first three episodes. We're excited. There's a lot. I'm really excited for it. Smith Teach 66 asks, is the God Queen gonna have her powers upgraded from the original run? So I have no qualms in saying that Jean's powers are a little bit more in line to her power levels in the comics without Phoenix. So just Jean, how we see her in the comics is right there. You know, I'm always going to be a defender of Jean in the original series. I mean, of course she's going to faint. She's holding a building together with the powers of her mind. That is stressful for anyone, right? But you're definitely not going to see that happening with Jean. I think there is a subtle callback to her fainting, and again, we can chat about that as we see fit. But it's not done in a mocking way, or it's not done under the same lens as it was in the original series. Jean is not fainting. Her power, there's no doubt that Jean is powerful. How about that? But in terms of an upgrade, I think we just have to see how the entire season plays out. Any Krakoa vibes? No, no Krakoa vibes. This is very much a continuation of the original series. Krakoa only appeared in the localized Japanese intro of the X-Men anime series for a brief second when Cyclops like blasts it. There is no Krakoa, no hint of the Krakoan age. How about that? Just expect a sequel. I'm not saying that's not to say that it won't one day be in the series, or they'll allude to it later down, but in these first three episodes, don't expect a Krakoan vibe. We're back in the mansion. This is the 90s, the X-Men of the 90s, 100%. And I know in the comic books, they've adapted Krakoa within a 90s lens. That is not what's happening here. There's no Krakoa. Does it really feel like a continuation of the original series? How, you know, it's modernized, right? Does it feel like a continuation? I think so, because it is within the same universe and has that continuity. Does it feel like it? It's been 30 years since the show aired. Animations have been upgraded. Storytelling has sort of evolved, right? And that's why I would say it feels different. It is certainly a spiritual successor, but does it look and feel the same? I'm going to say no, but that's not a bad thing. One of the things that I was very worried about going into the series is, how do you modernize what we saw in that original series? You know, Storm saying, I shall meet you at the monorail, which is an iconic line, wouldn't really fall, you know, really great in today's audience. It would come across overly campy, right? But the series is able to balance all of that. You do have those larger than life moments while also understanding that storytelling has evolved quite a bit. So, again, it is a continuation of the original series. I don't feel like it's not, but because of the way storytelling and animation has evolved, it does feel different. And again, it's not like evolved within the context of 5 years, right? Like Young Justice, when we got Young Justice got brought back. I mean, this is three decades since this show went, you know, premiered. So it does feel different. But that, again, to reiterate, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. What was Gilbert? We love Gilbert. He was at the premiere. Gilbert, are you asking me a question when you were at the premiere? Gilbert, you were at the premiere. You shouldn't be asking a question, but let's see what question it is, because we love you very much, Gilbert. What was the one character development that just blew you away? Magneto. Magneto and someone else. Magneto and someone else blew me away. Magneto has wonderful dialogue, and again, as I said, the mutant metaphor is delivered through his lens. So I think that was very interesting. There is another character that we won't mention. I don't want to mention. It's not up by any means a new character that is coming out of left field. This is a character that has already appeared in larger promotional materials, and everyone knows this character is in there. But I don't want to spoil when this character is going to arrive, but this character is in those first three episodes, and I get very emotionally worked up thinking of this character. And I think there is a moment that I'm dying to talk about. There is a moment with this character I'm dying to talk about. So Magneto, an unnamed character, I think have the best character development. And, you know, Gilbert, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. All right. J. Matt Art asks, is Colossus in it? The answer is no for the first three episodes. However, because it's X-Men, the animated series, a continuation of it, Larry Houston infamously put so many Easter eggs in the background. There are some that pertain to Colossus. How about that? How about that? You're going to see some Easter eggs and you'll be like, oh yeah, ties to Colossus. How about that? Okay, that is a general sweep I'm giving to you on that. Do the voices from the actors live up? Yes, I think Jubilee's voice actress is incredible. Sunspot's voice actor is incredible. Lenore and Allison are wonderful. Jennifer Hale nails it. A lot of the questions I've been getting have been surrounding AJ, who's the new voice actor for Gambit. He nails it. So wonderful. And again, I think Magneto's voice actor, we were a little apprehensive about because at the end of the trailer, because he has really great dialogue, it is delivered beautifully. Very, very happy. Thoughts on Jean? I already talked about it. Fainting question mark. There's no way to talk about it without spoiling it, right? I will say, I think there is a clever callback to it. How about that? That's it. It's not, by no means is it problem for us Gene fans. We're going to see it and we'll understand. And I think, by the way, absolved of just Gene, I think anyone in certain situations would faint, right? That's just how it is. Jamie Faye, who we love Jamie Faye so much, asked, does Storm electrify the screen with her presence? Storm is the MVP. As I said, Storm is the MVP. All right, let me go through. Let me go through. We're going to do two more. We're going to do two more. Will we get any meme-worthy scenes for the season? Yes. That is a wonderful question, Kyer 33556. Thank you so much for asking this. Yes, I think we are going to get some meme-worthy scenes. I think we've already kind of seen that in the trailer where we have Wolverine say, "Daddy's home." You know, someone asked, "Tell me what you can about Wolverine." Again, I'm going to tell you, Ron Crosby, three. Wolverine's the heart of the X-Men. He has a special relationship. To drive that point home, he has a special relationship with every character, and I never really fully understood that until these first three episodes. Is a plot of the story, and we'll do one more. We'll do one more. Is a plot of the story any good? Is the script good? Yes, and that comes from LokiSun22, one of our dear friends that we talked to on DM. Yes, the story is really good. The overarching plot is really good. There are lots of seeds planted. A lot happens in these episodes. All right, Familia, that is it. We're going to do a proper breakdown of the premiere with Luigi on Sunday. We'll talk about everything we saw, how we partied, the first three episodes, our opinions on it. We'll dig in a little deeper. But for now, this is just spoiler-free first impressions. You're going to be excited. Familia, you're going to be very, very excited, and I can't wait for all of you to see this series. It's going to be so much fun. Anyways, Familia, that is it. We're going to sign off now, but we have a lot of episodes coming up, and I cannot wait to share them with everyone.